Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that are in other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this Sabbath, February the 7th, 2026. This is our review of our chapter 30 entitled Coming Again Part 3, which is our final part of this chapter. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, and we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with the Tiny Tot theme song, Jesus is Coming Again, number 213.
Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring, Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again. Echo it, hilltops, proclaim it, ye plains, Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again. Heavings of earth tell the vast wondering throng, Jesus is coming again. Trumpets and whirlwinds the anthem prolong, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again. Nations are angry, by this we do know, Jesus is coming again. Knowledge increases, men run to and fro, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to ask any of the little ones, by the help of their parents or older siblings, to open their section of the review with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days. Shall the Lord work and do all their work, and the 7 days are Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people that's in the Sabbath. And please protect the people that's joining the Sabbath. Please protect me and everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear little one. So it's story time, and we are going to hear the review for our chapter in our final part three. So let's have a listening ear, little ones, for we are going to go over chapter 30, Coming Again, part three, in our storybook, the story about Jesus. And I'm going to hand it to our dear brother.
All right, the Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the following books. One of them is 1 Thessalonians. The opening scripture is taken from 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When you weep over your dying remember they're coming back to life. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And Luke 21:28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So when the devil personates Jesus Christ, he's not allowed to come on a cloud as described by Jesus. He'll have to walk around on the earth, but he'll lie like the devil only does and say he's Christ. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Christ is coming, coming with clouds and with great glory. A multitude of shining angels will attend him. He will come to raise the dead and change the living saints from glory to glory. He will come to honor those who have loved him and kept his commandments, and to take them to himself. He has not forgotten them, nor his promise. Next slide, please. There we go. There will be a relinking of family chain. Grandpa and Grandma have passed away, and they are raised back to life. That's the relinking of the family chain. When we look upon our dead, we may think of the morning when the trump of God shall sound, when the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, 1 Corinthians 15:52. That time is near, a little while, and we shall see the King in his beauty. A little while, and he will wipe all tears from our eyes. A little while, and he will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. Wherefore, when he gave the signs of his coming, he said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21:28. And these signs he spoke of are happening all around us right now. This is taken from the story of Jesus, page 176 and 177. Thank you.
Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will have a new chapter, and that will be chapter 31 of our lesson entitled, A Day of Judgment. In our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story of Jesus, and that will take place February the 14th, 2026. Now I'm going to hand it back to our dear brother, but before that, we are going to hear a scripture song from memory. It's taken from Jude chapter 1, verse 24 to 25 from the King James Version.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to hand it back to our dear brother to review the questions.
That was beautiful. Somebody got a hold of Jonathan Boncaio's rendition of those verses. He's the first one I ever heard sing and play that with the guitar many, many years ago. That's beautiful. As Christ came down with clouds and great glory, who will attend him?
The answer to number one is a multitude of shining angels.
Yes, he's going to bring his angels with him. Who will he come to honor?
The answer to number two is those who have loved him and kept his commandments.
That's the requirement, to love him and keep his commandments. He won't be taking anybody to heaven that hates him or that violates his commandments knowingly. All right, what will there be?
The answer to number three is a relinking of the family chain.
A relinking of the family chain. We'll get to see Mama and Daddy and Grandma and Grandpa and, oh my, get to meet a lot of our ancestors. Those are people that lived before us. And a bonus question, what will the dead in Christ look like?
The answer to the bonus question is, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
That's right. We changed. Any deformities in our bodies will be changed to what God intended they should be. Thank you for participating.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. And remember, little ones, Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again. We are going to ask any of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests to open our family prayer, family study with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning, and please protect us. Please protect people who are here and people who are not here, and the people who will be learning and telling us about what you did in heaven. Please protect us and everybody that I know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are in this section of nature. So this is our time to be able to learn and review of the segment that we had displayed in the first part last Sabbath. In her segment entitled Walking on Water, and our dear brother Josh will be the one to share.
God blessings, everyone. Today we'll be reviewing our lesson from last week. We'll be reading about the spiritual insight faith and the story of about Jesus walking water before the nature lesson. This is our review of our topic, Mammals of the Bible, taken from Family Bible Lesson, or FBL, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 10, Jesus Walking on Water. The Bible verses for our nature segment review of Lesson 10, entitled Walking on Water, open scripture is taken from 1 Peter 5:8, and it reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." In Matthew 14:24-25 reads, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." And over here next to the picture of this lion in the Revelation 5:5, and it reads, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And our memory verse for today is Psalms 105:4. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. And the character quality for the story is thankfulness versus ingratitude. Thankfulness is the expression of gratitude to others and to God and to others for how they have benefited one's life. We'll be reading the spiritual insight before lesson two, Who of Lions. And above the picture we read, lion comes from the Hebrew word leish, which means be strong. The prophecy lion refers to a kingdom. See Daniel 7:4-17. Toiling for naught. The disciples had not put off immediately from the land as Jesus directed them. They waited for a time, hoping that he would come to them. But as they saw that darkness was fast gathering, they entered into a ship, went over the sea toward Capernaum. They had left Jesus with dissatisfied hearts, more impatient with him than ever before, acknowledging him as their Lord. They murmured because they had not been permitted to proclaim him king. They blamed themselves for yielding so readily to his command. They reasoned that if they had been more persistent, they might have accomplished their purpose. The Desire of Ages, page 379-308. The disciples did not understand that Jesus had come to set his kingdom in the hearts of men that loved him. He did not want a kingdom set by the swords of soldiers. The mistake of the disciples and the multitude had made in wanting to set up Christ's kingdom through force is the same mistake that will be made in the days just before Christ returns. Then the spirit of force, or Antichrist, will be empowered. This power thinks force is the way to make people worship God. Force has nothing to do with love, and God does not want its followers to be a part of this false system of worship. The disciples and the multitude lost the blessing of having Jesus near to them because they had allowed this wrong principle of force to infect their thinking. So in the end, all who go along with the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, will be banished forever from the presence of Jesus. Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made, or forced, all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of fornication, or false doctrines about worship, God's kingdom, and so forth. Revelation 14:8. It says below, fear God and give him glory. Fallen is Babylon the Great. Meanwhile, a violent tempest had been stealing upon them, and they were unprepared for it. It was a sudden contrast, for the day had been perfect, but when the gale struck them, they were afraid. They forgot their disaffection, their unbelief, their impatience. Everyone worked to keep the boat from sinking. It was but a short distance by sea from Bethsaida to the point where they expected to meet Jesus. And in ordinary weather, the journey required but a few hours. But now they were driven farther and farther from the point they sought. Until the fourth watch of the night, they toiled at the oars. Then the men, weary, gave themselves up for lost. In storm and darkness, the sea had taught them their own helplessness, and they longed for the presence of their master. Jesus had not forgotten them. The watcher on the shore saw those fear-stricken men battling with the tempest. Not for a moment did he lose sight of his disciples. With deepest solicitude, his eyes followed the storm-tossed boat with its precious burden. For these men were to be the light of the world. As a mother in tender love watches her child, so the compassionate master watched his disciples. When their hearts were subdued, their unholy ambition quelled. And in humility, they prayed for help. It was given them. At the moment when they believe themselves lost, a gleam of light reveals a mysterious figure approaching them upon the water. But they know not that it is Jesus. One who has come for their help, they count as an enemy. Terror overpowers them. The hands that have grasped yours with muscles like iron let go their hold. The boat rocks at the will of the waves. All eyes are riveted on this vision of a man walking upon the white-capped billows of a foaming sea. The Desire, pages 380 to 381. Above this picture of a lion, it reads, thank God for what you do have, instead of murmuring about what you think you need. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:9-11, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. It says here, lions are hunters. Male lions most readily come to mind when we think of lions, but female lions are the heartbeats of their tribes and species. While male lions are the protectors of their pride, female lions wear many hats. They are the hunters, leaders, and child rearers. They are the ones forming the social structures for the pride. Like elephants, lion prides are matriarchal. Making up the core of a pride, female lions execute decisions and coordination in order to ensure the survival of their pride. The lionesses, well known for their hunting, have to rely on synchronized efforts to catch their prey, as most of their prey is small and cannot run them. Lionesses are the primary hunters, whereas male lions will contribute to less than 10% of hunts. With the pressure of having to secure food for the entire pride, lionesses coordinate to ambush their prey, usually by pursuing and pushing it into the rest of the pride. Lionesses raise their cubs communally. This shared responsibility allows strong social bonds to develop amongst the members of the pride. The lionesses instill social and survival skills in their cubs in order to increase their chances of survival. While they don't have as many responsibilities, male lions do have one key role to play. Their main responsibility is to protect the pride and defend their territory. Even these tasks are supported by the pride's lionesses. Both male and female lions will protect their cubs and territory from leopards, hyenas, and even other lions. Information from lionesses, the key to the pride survival of wildlife conservation. Here the question is, what do lions eat? And here are the answers all around. Reptiles, they will attack some. Small animals, which they sometimes go after, large mammals, which they're often seen hunting, and aquatic animals, which we see a bit rarely. And what do they drink? What do animals drink? Water. Lions are carnivorous. These big cats are carnivorous predators and primarily prey on smaller mammals, including zebras, wildebeests, and buffalo. They are opportunistic hunters, so they will also eat smaller prey like impalas and warthogs, or scavenge meat from carcasses of dead animals. Lions are skilled hunters who work in coordinated groups called prides, like we know, to surround and ambush their prey. The lionesses do most of the hunting, relying on stealth and speed to approach their target before launching a coordinated attack. Males sometimes join in for the hunt, but are usually more involved in defending their territory of pride. Information from www.ifaw.org/animals/lions. The diet of a lion. This year, the lion's diet, lion's favorite meal is zebra, buffalo, and wild beast flesh. Lions eat grass for a balanced meal. A lion's body requires 5 to 7 kilograms of meat each day. Diet of a lion. What do lions eat? Lions eat a wide variety of processed meats and can eat up to 15 pounds of meat per day. in the wild, lions feed off of smaller animals and occasionally team up to take down a large mammal. Their diet includes zebras, antelopes, buffaloes, wildebeest, waterbucks, boars, and other animals like rabbits. Lionesses do most of the hunting for a pride of lion. As highly social animals, lions live in pride that's composed of related females, their cubs, and a coalition of males. Female lions give birth to a litter of cubs after a gestation period of about 4 months. Typically, a lioness gives birth to 2 to 6 cubs per litter in a sheltered den. These cubs are then raised collectively within the pride, with several lionesses often nursing and caring for them. Lions play a crucial role in their ecosystem, and their presence has several important ecological and environmental benefits. Firstly, they help control the populations of herbivorous animals like zebras and wildebeests, preventing overgrazing and ecosystem degradation. By controlling herbivore populations, lions also indirectly influence vegetation patterns and the overall health of their ecosystem. This in turn impacts other species such as birds and small mammals that depend on diverse habitats for survival. Information from www.ifaw.org/animals/lions. Here, love these pictures from the lions. Satan, the lion, was trying to destroy the disciples in the storm on the sea, and Jesus allowed the storm because of their murmuring. However, Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah, did save them. And in this short poem, we read this small. The poem is called "Little Child." Little child, when you're at play, do you know that Jesus sees you? He it is who made the day, sunshine, birds, and flowers to please you. Oh, then thank him much and pray to be grateful every day. Little child, when you're afraid, do you know that Christ is by you? Seek his care then, he has said. Ask him, I will not deny you. He never fails to hear. He will keep you. Do not fear. Little child, when you are bad, do you think that Jesus knows it? Yes, and oh, it makes him glad when you're sorry and confess it. Oh, then, tell him quick and pray to grow it better every day. The name of the writer is unknown. Here we read Roaring Lion. About 100 years ago, there was a famous straw man by the name of Eugene Sandow. He made his living by performing acts of great daring in which he matched his strength against nature. One time, he agreed to wrestle a 530-pound male lion. Before the contest, the lion's feet were securely covered with mittens and its mouth was muzzled so it could not bite him. In this way, it was a contest between the lion's power and quickness and Mr. Sandow's. The week before the match, the lion killed his keeper. But just the same, Mr. Sandow entered the cage of the lion with only his bare hands for protection. Immediately, the animal charged towards Mr. Sandow, but thankfully, Mr. Sandow stepped aside just in the nick of time. In a flash, Mr. Sandow grabbed the lion around the neck with one arm and around its middle with the other, then lifted the animal up to shoulder height and gave the lion a powerful bear hug before throwing him across the cage. The surprised lion roared as it rushed toward Mr. Sandow once again. This time it was aiming for Mr. Sandow's head. But Mr. Sandow barely jerked his head out of the way in time. The lion tamer outside the cage screamed for Mr. Sandow to come out of the cage. But Mr. Sandow was in control of himself, and the lion he grabbed again and squeezed like he did before. By now, the lion was clutching and scratching the spot of the mittens it was wearing. Somehow, Mr. Sandow managed to hold on. He didn't let go until he was ready, at which point he again threw the lion to the other side of the cage. The people watching on the outside were screaming for Sandow to get out of there. Then, of all things, Sandow turned his back on the lion and just stood there waiting for the lion to pounce on him. The lion took full advantage of the situation and sprang right onto Mr. Sandow's back. In perfect self-control, Sandow threw up his arms, grabbed the animal around the neck, and flung it over his head. The people outside the cage watching were so thankful when Mr. Sandow came out unharmed. Sometime later, it was arranged for Sandow to pit his strength against the same lion again. This time, when Sandow entered the cage, the lion would not even fight him. When Sandow lifted the lion onto his back and walked around the cage with the lion over his shoulders, the lion didn't resist. This story can remind us of how God gave Samson power to subdue the lion when he roared against him. Judges 14:5. We too need special strong man power from God to conquer our adversary, the devil, who as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. How thankful we can be for God's promises. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4:6. Our reference reading of our lesson, Mammals from the Bible Review, taken from our study book, The Desire of Ages, Chapter 40, A Night in the Lake, Part 3. Unbelief was taking possession of their minds and hearts. Love of honor had blinded them. They knew that Jesus was hated by the Pharisees, and they were eager to see him exalted as they thought he should be. To be united with a teacher who could work mighty miracles, and yet to be reviled as deceivers was a trial they could ill endure. Were they always to be accounted followers of a false prophet? Will Christ never assert his authority as king? Why did not he who possessed such power reveal himself in his true character and make their way less painful? Why had he not saved John the Baptist from a violent death? Thus the disciples reasoned till they brought upon themselves great spiritual darkness. They questioned, could Jesus be an impostor as the Pharisees asserted? Desire of Ages, page 280, paragraph 1. The disciples had that day witnessed the wonderful works of Christ. It seemed that heaven had come down to the earth. The memory of that precious, glorious day should have filled them with faith and hope. Had they, out of the abundance of their hearts, been conversing together in regard to these things, they would not have entered into temptation, but their disappointment had absorbed their thoughts. The words of Christ, gather up the fragments, that nothing be lost, were unheeded. Those were hours of large blessing to the disciples. They had forgotten it all. They were in the midst of troubled waters. Their thoughts were stormy and unreasonable, and the Lord gave them something else to afflict their souls and occupy their minds. God often does this when men create burdens and troubles for themselves. The disciples had no need to make trouble. Already danger was fast approaching. Desire of Ages, page 280, paragraph 2. A violent tempest had been hewn upon them, and they were unprepared for it. It was a sudden contrast, for the day had been perfect, and when the gale struck them, they were afraid. They forgot their disaffection, their unbelief, their impatience. Everyone worked to keep the boat from sinking. It was but a short distance by sea from Bethsaida to the point where they expected to meet Jesus. In ordinary weather, the journey required but a few hours. But now they were driven farther and farther from the point they sought. Until the fourth watch of the night, men gave themselves up for lost. In storm and darkness, the sea had taught them their own helplessness, and they longed for the presence of their master. The Desire of Ages, page 280, paragraph 3. Here are three bonus questions. You can find in the answers in the book, in the Bible, and in the lesson book itself. Question one is, well, instructing. Describe what happened to the disciples after they left Jesus. The answer is in the Desire of Ages, pages 379 to 381. Two, what happened next? The answer is in Matthew 14:24. the three, who did they see walking on the sea? That sentence could be a good joke. The answer is in Matthew 14:25. Our closing song, our closing hymn for our toddler study is entitled God Be With You Till We Meet Again. If anyone would like to take a verse, go ahead.
God be with you till we meet again. Loving counsel guide uphold you. May the shepherd's cares unfold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet a Jesus seat. God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. Unseen wings protecting hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you
till we meet.
God be with you till we meet again. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Smite death's threatening way before you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.
If anyone would like to add closing prayer, request for one of the little ones to give prayer.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can.
Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father Jesus, we thank you for bringing us safely through the week once more to worship you, Father. We pray for the different weathers that are in different state and the high temperatures, or generally the low temperatures, that is in the areas, Father. Please give shelter to the ones that does not have any home and are on the street and need shelter at this time, Father. Please be with them. We thank you, Father, for all the children here and their participation, their parents. We pray for blessings upon them. Continue to be with them, that they may enjoy your blessed Sabbath day. Be with us as we move forward into the next section of the study. Bless us continuously, I pray. Be with us in your Holy Spirit to teach us into all truth, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next week, we will begin a new chapter, chapter 31 of our lesson entitled, A Day of Judgment, from our study book, The Story of Jesus. Dear ones, may you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath. Keep yourself really nice and toasty wherever you may be. We are so thankful that the presence of God also bring warmness to each and every one. And remember all of those places like lower down the state that they are not used to this weather. May the heavenly angel will guide them and protect them. I stand in agreement with our dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, will be February the 14th, 2026. We will start our new chapter, entitled A Day of Judgment, and that will be lesson 31. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.